Yo, 1212, this is DJ ESE, Chef Stressed, Jesse Ferguson from Innerborough Spirits and Ales, motherfuckers. You better give some money to steal this beer right now, patreon.com.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Cart.
Hey, I'm John Hall.
Hey, John Hall. Hey, Justin Kennedy.
Hey,
while you click at our 10 seconds of silence, why don't you say hey there? So this is a very special episode.
It's a very special
episode.
You
think it's a very special episode because we don't have a farm brewer from upstate on.
It's so exciting.
But I think it's a very special episode because we got Christian Weber, who might have had the most eventful 2019 of any craft brewer in the, at least in the Northeast, if not. I mean, there was that Sam Adams Boston announcement, but around here, your announcement was the biggest ever. So, why don't we start with the Common Roots? Just, you know, give us the 1, 2, 3. Here's what happened in March, and then we'll figure out where the conversation goes from there. But so nobody at home is confused, I don't want to tell this story as eyewitness for Facebook. You tell us what fucking happened, and then we'll talk about what actually, you know, how that affected.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks
for having me. As always, yeah, good to be here. But, yeah, March 25th was a rough day. It was a rough night. And we were actually in Uplands Brewing at their Sour Fest the weekend just prior.
So
the fire happened on a Monday. Yeah. We had arrived back in town on the Sunday, so I was actually working late in my office just looking at emails and going through everything. And we had kind of a freak accident happen with our vent from our boiler. And the vent actually had deteriorated. It was an issue with the vent itself, and the whole building went up pretty quickly. So, you know, in the biggest take home points from it, no one was hurt.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing. And I've really,
because your tap room was open when the fire
was open.
Happened. Yeah,
I was at my office was actually a physical thing that caught on fire. So okay. I was actually in my office. I heard the most.
So this is just like a heat exhaust that runs through your
office.
It runs
through a metal chase line, like any other that you'd have.
Boiler exhaust, yeah.
Exactly. And I heard, feeling some, you know, hearing some weird things and smells. Couldn't find it, and all of a sudden turned around and saw that there was black smoke coming through my wall.
Jesus.
Ran downstairs, got the tap room out, went over to where I thought I saw the fire, and, you know, at that point, most of the building was going.
No saving it.
I went and pulled the fork truck outside, but right. I figured that was maybe something that we wanted. And then actually,
you don't get that deposit back. Yeah,
we don't. We actually had just we had done a couple beers with KCBC, maybe 6 months prior, and we had actually just moved one to a blending tank, and it's actually on wheels. So I actually pushed it
right
to the
lot.
Back of the brewery. I was like, I didn't, you know, no one really thinks the brewery.
You're like the old lady with the cats while the apartment building's on fire. You're
like, it was. I was like,
no, it's more like your photographs, right? The genius is running out of a fire, grab photographs. In a brewery, getting that one tag is that's
huge.
The right move.
Yeah.
That's the right move.
Everybody put them on wheels.
All right, so there's a million questions I want to ask you as a small business owner.
Yep.
And I want to get to them all. And I actually think, because the podcast by itself, although it always becomes, hey, what are you brewing, what are you doing, it's supposed to be those kind of conversations. And what I'm most interested in by is being somebody who owns a similarly small business who might have it happen. I got all kinds of questions like, do you sue the vent guy, the guy that installed the vent guy? What does insurance do? But first I want to, because I always want, you know, because there is a great part of this story, and that is the community rallying around you guys.
Yep.
So I live, you know, we're familiar, we're friendly, we know everybody in the same area. I saw it announced by your neighbors immediately, right? Like, while it was going on, it started showing up on the Facebooks and the Jersey Facebooks
that
follow and do all that. So I was fully aware of it in time. Mm-hmm. And then immediately saw all of your, like, a GoFundMe was started by 3 a.m. that night. I think we saw that go on. But also know that you got together with a whole bunch of other brewers and you've now got a temporary space and you've managed to keep brewing. And this week you actually started construction on what will be the new Common Roots, right?
Yep.
So just talk to me about those kind of super positive community parts, what was real, what was just kind of people being talked about, how'd that go, who'd you group up with, where you've been brewing beer, all that shit's the first thing I want to know.
Yeah, so that was a bunch. But,
yeah,
you know, I think the biggest...
Got an hour.
Yeah, good, perfect. It turned into the most humbling experience. I think my father and I are business partners.
Yep.
That we ever, you know, you just never expect something to happen, but the aftermath was just unbelievable. And there's not a word out there that says thank you more than thank you.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It was the local community. It was the beer community. A large portion of a lot of the events and things like that, the GoFundMe, all these different things that were set up, was actually set up by a group of staff that the main person who spearheaded it doesn't even work for us anymore, has moved on, is a stay-at-home mother now. She kind of, and a bunch of people kind of all came together. And it was one of these things we were still trying to, you know, scratching our heads, figuring out what the next step was. And next thing I know it, you're right, there was a GoFundMe, there was all these things. You know, we employ about 20 people. Not a single person we've had to lay off, which is really important, and actually a direct result of all the community support that we've received. And, you know, insurance is great. We're a well-insured brewery. And there's, you know, we could have an hour discussion about that.
Yeah, but that's all the things I need to know, because God forbid it ever happens to me. The more you know, the more ready you are. But first, let's talk about...
But, you know...
that's the most important thing. So give me a timeline for... You obviously went into somebody's brewery and started brewing, right? Like,
no. So actually, what we had we have a great partnership with a local company called Fraunhofer Design that has actually built our entire brewery.
Okay.
Which was a good partner to have. Our 3-barrel pilot system was unarmed for the most part. There was a little bit of some issues we had to take care of with it, but we actually took on a warehouse about 300 feet to the north.
Okay.
And within about 6 weeks, with some help from SLA and a TTB,
I was going to say,
amazing.
Yeah, because you'd have to get re-licensed.
They were amazing. It was phone calls and things happened immediately.
Yeah, as a New Jersey brewer, one of the things I envy most about New York breweries is how much your guys' government is for you instead of against you.
Yeah.
That's great they did that. So, all right, three barrel pilot batch gets moved up the road.
So
and where's the
gets
moved, there's a tasting room,
there's a tasting
too, right?
room. Everyone's working there. We have 5 brewers probably brewing that what 2 guys need to do,
right.
But it's going all right. We're having a lot of fun. We actually we're doing a lot more wood stuff than normal during this time of year. We have 3 other breweries, 4 all together that we're working with to do some additional contracts. So we're not nearly where we were for production. We were putting about 500 barrels a month out normally. You know, we're doing 200 to 300 barrels right now with our contracts and, like, you know, 30 barrels a month at the temporary space. But we're working with 2 Roads is doing one brand.
Yep.
Torch and Crown, I know you just had.
Yep, yep. They've been on the show recently.
The guys up, yep, absolutely. As well as Single Cup. They took over the Schmaltz.
Because they're at the Schmaltz place,
yeah, yeah.
So they're doing some brews. And then we've done a few breweries with another local brewery called, which is actually Rich Michael's brewery, Frog Alley.
Frog Alley at Schenectady.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a cool. Awesome. That's a beautiful spot too.
Beautiful spot. So we've been really lucky. The whole entire community has been unbelievable.
So all of a sudden, you've become a little great at moving liquid in trucks too, right? Like if everything goes wrong, you could become a mover of. All right, how do we get Schenectady beer
transportation
to,
logistics?
It's a logistics.
I
situation
can imagine
now,
that's crazy. All right, so next question, as the observant member of the community, before I go business on business. So that all makes sense, and obviously you've just keeping everybody alive. How long, so when it's happening, there's no way you knew what had happened. How long after did you figure out, here's what I wanted to ask. Had you just done an expansion or a renovation or a change inside the house and weren't you intending to renovate as well, right? So let me frame this. So my part of the world was very much Sandy affected, although we were fine. And Sandy was horrible on a lot of humans, as everybody knows. But there were this random couple people in the community who actually greatly benefited from Sandy, which were the people who were near doing something. So they had plans done. They had contractors talked to. And the minute Sandy came through, rather than try to figure out how to fix, they just went ahead. And, you know, because there were things in that world where contractors got busy for 3 or 4 years. Even if you could rebuild your house, nobody could rebuild your house. Mm-hmm. So that was the next context for what happened here, right? You guys had just finished an expansion, and this other expansion is as a result of the fire, or did you have a plan to go another way? You know what I mean? Where were all those balls in the air, I guess, is what I'm asking.
So it was like maybe a perfect storm for that. We had just broken ground on like a two-phase kind of expansion. We had purchased the property next to us, which would have been a production expansion. We were actually just started another project. We're opening another brewery in Troy, New York, where we're moving our wild program down there, which was already in the works as well. And we had also just broken ground, actually was digging the foundation out while the building burned, of a taproom expansion. So it was, you know, we probably, you know, it looks a lot different now, and it kind of would have been probably but more like the old Vermont farmhouse where you just keep adding wings on.
Yeah.
And it, you know, now it's this purpose-built, state-of-the-art facility. You know, I spoke to Fred Matt today from FX Matt Brewing a couple days after the fire. They had a terrible fire in 2008. It was like $14 million in damage. Jesus. Big ordeal. But also, you know, an old facility that's been passed down generation. You know, at the end of the day, my dad and I built the brewery.
Right.
And it wasn't, you know, it was about as nostalgic as it gets. We did everything ourselves. And I always anticipated, like, walking around showing my grandchildren what my dad and I did, not this beautiful, you know, this new facility that really doesn't have the same character that I thought. That was a really tough one to swallow. But once you get past that,
But as a brewer, a new space is easier to clean. And
it's going to be, there's a silver lining with this. Yeah, and it's not necessarily how we want to expand.
Yeah, obviously.
And you can still put your handprints on the concrete if you want to.
We can still put our handprints. There'll be something that my dad and I take on together. But
that's right. Yeah, that's... All right. Yeah,
There's a silver lining.
Yeah.
Here.
There's got to be in everything, and with some time. But so that expansion, that new building, broke ground this week or whatever. Right. This is the week where construction started.
The week that we're recording
now. Yeah.
The week. Yeah. Exactly. We started.
So we're in August. We're in the middle of August.
Yep.
So you're intending to open that place in March, right? If everything goes right.
That's the idea. So yeah, we're hoping to be brewing a little bit before that. So
this would be a year of this. Piecing it all together, keeping things alive, and tossing a lot of balls.
Yeah,
we're in
this like purgatory kind of situation now. It's like,
but if it goes according to plan, March you're back up and running, and
March will be the public opening. We're hoping to be brewing by January, February.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Our equipment's actually arriving in November.
Okay,
I can promise you that's a testament to you and your dad and being good at this game. Because if that happened to me, it'd be 12 years before there was a new carton brewing. I'd literally spend a year going, I don't know.
It's hard, but I'll tell you.
Let's put the water upstairs this time.
We were really lucky. We were already working with an architectural group down for the new brewery in Troy.
Okay.
And we had a great relationship. I went to school with his younger brother. I just kind of felt like we had a good rapport with them. And they kind of hit the ground running with us for the new facility. And, you know, having a good support network. And honestly, you're right. There was so much community action that came about.
Yeah, that was
what became this, like, such humbling. Yeah. And you just, how do you feel like a piece of shit after that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like not many people get that opportunity just to see all your friends and everyone come together. And it was just, it was pretty, amazing.
And it sounds like the town, I know. Sounds like the town really rallied behind you as well, right? Like your neighbors sound completely involved.
Everyone.
In it.
It's a great community.
That's the high point, right?
Yeah. Like, and that's
those
what
of us
you
that
want.
Drink your beer and love your beer want the best for you, and that's always going to happen. But when your neighbors are like, fuck, how do we help you out? That means you made some right moves along the way.
Exactly. It's how much you acted and how you acted before it happened that people... Because, you know, it could have happened, and if you guys were, you know, assholes, people would be like, tough break.
All
right.
So that's the past.
That's the past.
We've done that. Now let's talk about the Black Glass, because that's what brings us together on Steal This Beer. It's a candid conversation of beer.
Go slow.
What brings us together on Steal This Beer?
Yes,
a candid conversation of beer and what
it
is.
Speed it up just a little bit.
Not what we want it to be and not what we thought it would be, but what it is. To facilitate that, John and I drink blind out of opaque black glasses. Christian brought the beer. Young Kennedy over there poured the beer.
Don't you call me Christian sometimes?
But his name is Christian.
No, it's actually Christian. Yeah.
I'm safe.
Yeah.
I call you.
Yeah, we're not going to call him Justin.
I call you all kinds of things, Topher. but anyway.
Brendan.
Brendan is the one I think
Brendan
I slipped to most. Yeah, for some reason, Justin and Brendan's the same thing.
Christian's a big one, too.
Yeah, well, you know, because you look so, you know, Christian.
Brendan Creek Brewing Company is going to be his retirement program. Yeah,
that'll be awesome.
Brendan Creek.
All right, so Johnny, you want to go first?
Boy, there is a lot going on with this. This is all shades of dirty and funky and fun. This is like when people talk about like what the Mesopotamians did back in the day of, you know, wild, funky, just like letting the earth rule a beer. This is where my mind goes in a lot of ways. I like your skeptical look.
How do you feel it would lubricate a meal?
Stop. That was the last episode. We don't need to keep,
apparently, John's got another podcast where he says the words food lube regularly, and I've just found that out. It's not going away from my head.
No. Nor should it. But also, if we're going to keep saying it, though, we need to get their money.
I'm not saying who they are. I'm sure many things lubricate food. Anyway, milk.
That's right. I'm reading for Tuscan
if
Dairy.
If you're having peanut butter
I'm
sandwiches,
John Hall for Tuscan
need,
Dairy.
Yeah,
and if you want to hawk the most impressive loogies.
When you're having peanut butter sandwiches, you need
Tuscan
Coach
Dairy.
Farms goat milk to lubricate your food.
All right, back on track.
All right, back on track, boys. So this is right behind. The last episode, Jesse's
Gin and tonic.
Yeah, and there's a quinine aspect to this.
You think so?
And it's, yeah, I really do. And the problem is I can't tell how much I'm now being sensitive to that aspect of it. But there's a really nice lemon level acidity, right? Like it's not green apple and it's not lime, but it's right in that lemon zone of acidity level.
Yeah.
There's something super drying on it.
There is.
That isn't not quite unlike. And because I've just had a non-beer that Justin made me treat like a beer, I'm now nervous for all kinds of weird shit to pop up.
There's some fun sort of stale cigarette ash on the aroma of this as well, though, that I'm getting. Like a little bit of like...
All of your fetishes are coming out since food lube.
Yeah. Food lube. Cigarette ash.
Cigarette ash. Food lube. Red leather, yellow leather.
No, but there's this sort of like menthol cigarette ash thing that comes off it. There's a little bit of like a cooling quality to it. I'm almost thinking of like a you know, bluish gray smoke kind of ash, you know, from an old school cigarette, as it were. But it adds, I think, to a little bit to that drying quality. But it also gives a little bit of this like fun, effervescent. Like, the smoke doesn't come through in the finish or anything. It's just there for, like, a hot second on the nose. But this finish is really dry. It finishes really fast.
That's the remarkable part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, without agreeing with anything you've said...
No, but why start now?
I'm going to take what you said and what I said and put together and say there's clearly some herb at play here that we're not putting our finger on, right? Because the common ground of what we've said
there's
is
not,
some
There's
kind
not
of
cigarettes in this?
Some kind of foraged bramble kind of herb addition that you and I are familiar with. What was that thing that guy down in South Carolina brought that I was just in love with and I can't remember the name of
what
ever?
What was that? It was...
you know what I'm talking
yarrow,
about, right?
Yarrow.
So it's going to be... So I feel like there's something like that possibly in play because it's got that kind of... So what's most interesting to me is whatever's propping up the acidity, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not just an acidification. There's a wrinkle to the acidity that tastes... Not really pithy though, unless it was like a what are those black limes Caligione uses in that beer?
Kiefer limes?
No, I think they're just dried.
I think they're
black
just
limes.
Black limes,
but they're like, dried.
It's like
and
a,
there's something like that flavor lime. To it. You know what I mean? And I don't think I know what it is well enough. And if it's pure fermentation flavor and smell, then it's neat as fuck.
Well, that's the other thing, right? So there's this big argument that's happening in the, you know, the sour and wild world right now of, you know, natural Brett versus lab Brett and things that are actually spontaneously fermented with Brett that give a beer like a certain characteristic. And this, to me, given its level of funkiness, given its level of just sort of, you know, like weird, fun earthiness, like this doesn't strike me as something that came out of white labs to inoculate a beer. So...
Is that really a big debate? Do you believe that's a big debate?
I think it's happening. I think it's happening in certain circles, from the brewers that I talk to during the day.
I don't think anybody's arguing. I think there's
loop.
The guys that are big enough that they have to pitch,
sure.
And all the rest of us don't, right? Like, the minute you get involved with fuckery, throw some berries in and see what happens. Throw one of Evan's honeycombs in and see what happens. just fucking put bottle dregs in a carboy till it's big enough and pitch that. Like,
I think there are folks who are holding on to the idea of if you're going to call something wild, actually make it wild and not necessarily just Brett out of a lab.
But I think they're just trying to get beer writers to talk about that.
I disagree. I think they're trying to further the conversation. Jeff Stuffings is one of those guys.
But he's not. We just had a conversation with him and he gets it. We talked about four different ways I sour beers and he thinks all four are valid and he thinks one is method traditionnel and everything else is perfectly fine ways to fuck around.
Have you had this beer, Christian?
I've had this beer.
All right.
Is it a beer?
What's it doing for
it's
you?
It's not a lab.
All right.
If you want to keep kind of feeding a little bit absolutely. Here, we can kind of keep it going. I chose it specifically. You can keep kind of dragging it down a little bit.
No, show it to us.
I'll do the strip tease.
This is what I'm drinking with Lauren. This is another Lauren beer. There's no way I get this away from Lauren.
So it's barn beer.
Yay!
Perfect. Yeah.
But so there's.
But that's the difference between something that is coming out of Y Yeast or White Labs or something like that and something that is actually. You know, 100%.
You pour. I think Edmonds Culture has a very distinct taste.
It's a 375.
Flavor.
Come on, there's four of us.
You didn't need to drink. This
Justin
beer.
Does
You've
one for you, one for me, two for me, one for you, three for me, one for you.
So last time barn beer came on, I picked the yeast out the minute it went to my nose. Chief brought one on, and I said, "That smells like Evan's yeast." And this one, all I get is the grain, and whatever's like. So I don't think Evan – I think Evan would be brokenhearted if there was consistency batch over barn beer. I think it's supposed to be varied. But now I feel like I really need to learn seasonal batch variation on barn beer because I'm wondering why one would go so much more acidic than another, why one would be so much more phenolic than another. And the good news is he's clearly making enough because I keep getting this beer, and I love this beer.
Yeah.
So I lost a lot of my beer stash during the fires. I thought a safe spot, not at my house, because late nights you start cracking bottles, you know. Mm-hmm. If I keep my office, there's no way that's an issue, right?
Like, oh, motherfucker.
And one of the first things I kind of wanted to start making sure I had enough was barn beer. Because as much as, you know, I always, Evan's one of my favorite people in the beer world. I love brewing with him.
Yeah.
It's also like barn beer is one of my just all-time go-to,
so drinkable,
easy, very drinking, drinkable really beers. Nice. But
you know what I love is whoever distributes him in the city has done a good job putting it in cool restaurants. So, like, really weird but good places I like to go sit at the bar and try a dish because I can't commit to dinner. Like, whatever the Danish place is in Grand Central.
Yeah, I like that you're looking
you know
at
it.
Me for
no, you wrote it up, or Justin, you wrote it up. Danish place in Grand Central.
Yeah, Agern.
So they have it on, and this new Danny Meyer place, Intersect, has it on. And you can just grab, like, I think they charge like $15 for it, which is cheaper than all the wine.
Yeah.
You get, so your one plate of food, you get barn beer. Like, hey, this worked out much better than I thought it was going to work out. That's very fun. All right, so now that's a good. But that's also a good segue into the current. So that's the past. The current is the getting open and the what comes from where. So things like that, like your beer collection. Did insurance cover it? How did you value it? What kind, were they just like, fuck off, this is business? Like what was the thing where you thought, oh, thank God for insurance? And what was the thing where you're like, are you fucking kidding me? That's a big loss. Where were the lines?
You know, it was one of those things where I don't think I realized what we've lost yet. Because you're like, every once in a while, you're like, fuck, that was in my office. And you're like going to grab your whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that's in your office, or I was in a brewery. But we were lucky in a lot of ways. I mean, but in one was we had a big umbrella policy that had a lot of coverage
lot
for
of
certain
coverage.
Things. And I'm sure there's something that we could go out and get some fucking whales from Canteon and say that was part of the claim, right? You know,
right.
But I don't know, whatever. See, there's other stuff to be worried about right now.
I like that to you, a whale is Canteon. I'm glad that for brewers,
we're still
not treating pastry chefs like whales.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
But
what was the thing that, like, what was the thing where you're like...
I have two things.
That they gave you a hard time
things.
On. Because the insurance adjuster's not doing his job if he doesn't pick the thing he resists.
No, there's
on.
Been
so
nothing
what
like
was
that.
It, really?
There's things I know I can't get. There's two things. There's one, there's this mural that was done... kind of like an apprentice artist of David Smith, who's done like an album cover for John Mayer and shit like that. He did this really cool, beautiful sign for Common Roots.
Okay.
And it had been a 2-year project, and it just arrived like 2 weeks before in a crate in my office. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to get that again.
No.
Another one, I had a bunch of evening beers before a show at Cage Elephant with the band, and they drew this kind of fucked up picture. Never get to have beers before they blew up kind of situation with them. And that was hanging off. So I'm like, damn, that's like, that's you don't really get that, but that's fine, you know.
Yeah, like
so
I said,
there's like, there's no thing that, I'm like,
right,
whatever.
But they're going to play your reopening, your grand reopening.
That's
right?
It. I'm going to, they listen cool. to this podcast, right? That's a big,
sure, KG Elephant listens all the time, yeah. We're huge fans.
That's it, so. Yeah.
With Barack Obama.
That's it.
That Barack Obama, the other Barack Obama. Yeah.
The band.
The band Barack Obama, yeah.
We are.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. Having lived through a house fire when I was in my 20s, it's the pictures.
Yeah.
That's what can't be replaced. It's let that be my advice to you thieves. Anytime you see fire, grab the photos in the art. Just grab the shit that's never.
Or if your bright tank is on wheels.
That's all it is.
Or if your bright tank is on wheels.
Or your blending tank.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your blending tank is on wheels.
So what lived was a sour?
We actually, so interesting thing.
Is it
so
still around?
A lot of our wild program is still alive because the back warehouse where our barrels, and we've been running a cool ship since day one. So some of our old, you know, old for us is 4 or 5 years now, but some of our older barrels that were there and older bottles and stuff that we were cellaring were still okay. We actually have more wood than
some
we do
of your
stainless
arts
right now, so we're doing
cool.
a little bit more wood right now than normal.
That's cool. That's all cool. So, all right, so you said you've got about. I'm going to make up a number. We don't need it to be accurate because it's the show and it's me. But there's like 5 guys helping you keep shit moving for the brand and for the liquid. And for
you have 9 guys working a 3-barrel
system.
No,
no, I mean rooms.
Oh.
No, I mean like some here, some there, some there. I think all in, it's 5.
There's 20 people in the company right now. There's
right, but I mean like places you're brewing.
There's, yeah.
Yeah, like 5. So by January, you hope to bring that all back into this new house and be completely independent again and off that scattering yourself far and wide to get shit done phase.
Yeah, I think we have a few of them that we've extended into February, March, some contract. I mean, honestly, everyone's been super cool.
Yeah.
They're all been like, hey.
Everybody
we're
talking
we
about is cool people.
Yeah.
So
they're all super relaxed. I mean, they understand the situation right now.
It's also a there, but for the grace of God, go I. Like, it's I think when you see something that happens like this, it's hard not to say, my God, like, what would happen to me in that situation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now as we start tasting glass too, talk about the future, right? So new space, like you said, losing the kind of the nostalgia of the first space, but new space. What are you intending? What are you doing differently? What has this opportunity afforded you to make kind of perfect for what you were frustrated by in the past? Assuming you're opening March, I'll just hedge and say May because nothing happens on time.
Of course.
What are people going to see when they walk in? Where's the band? You know, their band?
Yeah, what kind of mural?
What's this new spot?
Well, no, Cage the Elephant. We
John,
know that.
Will you, will you do the mural?
Yeah.
Well, Cage the Elephant, can we get that on?
Here's the problem. Cage the Elephant's booked for March, and he's not going to open until May.
Right.
So we need you to do the mural.
That's got
to
be you, buddy.
Oh, so I'm going to both sing and do the mural. I'm going to do both at the same time.
Oh, you can pick one, but I prefer both, if that's
cool.
Can
you do the mural? Can you do the mural in different lubricating products?
We're in the planning phase. We can actually get a wall ready for you, John, if that's the thing.
Can he work? Can his milieu be lube?
Yeah.
Like just different kinds of lube?
Yeah. Yeah,
different kinds of food quality lube?
Well, for your brewery needs, you need food grade lube.
All right. But let's talk about that. So walk me in the front door. What's your system? You know, what's the feel here?
Yeah, so you're a big foodie. You know, experience is everything.
Lube.
So that was one thing that was like we didn't plan to have as many people as we end up having in our tap room, which is why when we burnt, the first expansion was a tap room expansion.
Right.
Because it can get overly crowded. So part of that was also adding a small kitchen onto it as well. So we have one of the big changes now was putting more of a bigger kitchen focus in. We just brought the former GM of City Beer Hall in Albany. And if you guys have been there.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
What a great bar.
Great spot.
What a
great
bar.
Rich Wilson's now working at Common Roots and
awesome.
He's kind of helping us get the restaurant on.
That's really cool.
On.
That's great for
and
you.
And do
guys.
You have a chef in mind? Are you going to kind of find one in contract? You know, kind of.
Yeah,
your thing,
we're still working with that right
now. Do you
now,
have
so.
Ideas for what should go with your beer? You like, it's going to be tacos or it's going to be, you know what I mean?
So just like our equipment, local is a big.
Yeah.
So local and seasonal are 2 things. Like providing good local seasonal food is important. We are putting a big wood-fired pizza oven in.
Oh, cool.
I think you can do a lot with wood fire, and that'd be fun.
And nothing smells better when you're drinking and eating than wood
better.
Burning.
Yeah, exactly.
Drinking
because as if we haven't got enough wood burning in our.
It's a different smell. That wet wood fire put out smell. That's not a good smell.
Whole line of Rausch beers? Is that?
That's been talked about lately.
I
it's like one
that
thing
I'm
that I can't stand. You talk about
yeah.
cigarette smells. I'm like, in a beer, it's like a Rausch beer is one of those few beers that have, you know, very few people have done it very well.
Sure.
What is the big brewery in Texas there?
Live Oak.
Live Oak.
Yeah. I don't know. You should just take a couple
they're
weeks, go to Bomberg, you know, figure it out.
Give yourself over.
Yeah.
Give yourself over to the Band-Aid ashtray.
So I love smoked beers.
All right, glass
I do too.
I've got three in the tasting room right now. Don't tell me, motherfucker.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go over and try some and tell you which one.
You know, well, you know, I do the one that's meant to get guys like you. I did that for Jesse, where I although Jesse hates smoked beers, I know he loves smoking weed as a kid. So I deconstructed a blunt and just did like
a
really brown. Not anymore, dude. He really doesn't smoke much anymore. It was definitely a Jesse's misspent teenage years. But you know, made the beer taste like a cigar. Put a whole bunch of fucking Amarillo and citra in it, so it smelled like weed. And then a bag of smoked malt and some fruited. A bag of smoked wheat and then some fruit.
Smoked
so
then
you've got like cherry, weed, tobacco, smoke, and that usually slides by the Rausch beer haters. That's my trick for. Everybody likes smoking a blunt, right. So you know.
There it is. There's Welcome your collaboration for opening weekend.
Well, no, right. If we're gonna do that, then now we gotta roast the malts in the pizza oven and then throw it in the right. That's what you do. Come on, John. You guys,
get the
fucking
local
real
get the
pizza
local
oven.
Fire department to come down and do it with you guys, and you're all set.
Got a real pizza oven. You gotta be in there.
Beer too.
Or maybe we could do like sweet potatoes in the pizza oven.
Fine.
What,
all right.
Dude? Come on. Shut up.
What kind of lubricants do you use with
this
would
lubricate
a meal.
Yeah. This would lubricate a meal. So this is very Venice, right?
We've had this before.
It's very Venice, though, right?
Yes.
Whatever it is, I'm going to bet you it wasn't a wine barrel, but last time we tasted it, I said, this is a wine barrel beer. And Justin said, no, Augie, there's no whatever in it.
There's something so goddamn familiar about this beer that I can't, like, it's kind of driving me nuts a little bit, but it's that grapey, jammy Venice. But then there's a little
See,
bit of
I don't
of
have jammy. Jammy always means sweet to me.
Yeah, but there...
And this is a wicked
No, nah, but jammy for me is more of the... it's a little bit viscous. It's a little bit thicker than your normal beer. And then there's like this dusting of cocoa that comes off of it.
Oh, I like that. Because I was trying to... So I was placing that flavor...
That. Thanks for that.
I was placing that flavor you're talking
you
about...
score at home.
But I was placing that flavor you're talking about in the malt world, and it was like that time I decided a Pilsner was a
milk stout,
and I couldn't get past those aromas, and I was
Best
like, I don't
ever.
Think there's going to be any color in this beer. But God, there's something roasty in there, and I like your cocoa powder note, right?
Yeah.
There's all those, if you're at the nicer markets around the city, the current thing at the cash register, like the skinny nuts, which are like almonds or fruit, which is black cocoa powder on it.
Yeah.
And the minute you said it, that makes total sense to me for what I'm tasting here.
The thing is, too, this finishes dry as well, but there's this savory quality to it as well, where it really does get those salivary glands going with each sip.
But there's something like phenoport oxidized, really drying.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Fino Sherry oxidized, really drying. So the food I want this with is those clay dishes of garlic and oil with some shrimp in it at kind of classic tapas places. You know, they call them the gamberas or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's basically just a bowl of garlic oil sizzling with some shrimp thrown in.
Yep.
That and this beer would be fucking believable. The way that kind of salt watery
that's interesting that you're going
sherry
that route
floor
with it
thing would wash that the fuck out. That like all that oiliness and all that garlic just
I don't know,
would be
there's something
dynamite.
About like a grilled lamb that I feel like would go really well with this as well. Like
I
there's
think
something
it's
about
light
like
for lamb. It's a light beer, dude. I know you keep making it bigger than it is with words like jammy, but it's a super small, dry, quick little beer.
We'll try it both ways. Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pick up something like a little cast iron pan that I can get to 500 degrees in the oven. I'm going to put olive oil, garlic, and like a frozen fistful of shrimp into it. Wait 10 minutes. Put that on a plate with some parsley on top. And Lauren's going to drink this beer while I'm cooking it. And there's going to be none left to drink with the food. This is going to go so fast in my wife's glass. This would be the
quickest
beer.
There's something about this beer that is just so oddly familiar that I just, like, I'm loving it. So
yeah, it's fun.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, this is not English.
Christian, have you had this beer before?
So I actually haven't, and I brought it because it was a gift from some friends. I can't say too much because it's... Yeah.
Well,
it's,
we've written our say, so it can be given up. But before you go there, I want to know what you think of it and like what we're tasting. So, does that make sense to you, what we're saying? And what do you get off it, knowing what it is?
Knowing what it is, I get a lot of the wet, and not in a bad way because it could sound unpleasant, but I get a lot of the wet wine barrel kind of flavor.
Yeah.
And that's like that can be off-putting, but I'm not getting it's not an off-putting way.
I don't think it's off-putting at all.
No. You're on a show where I've said food lube 8 times. There's no way wet wine barrel is going
to
piss people off.
Food lube into this. Yeah.
I've been on a show where I've actually said food lube for money.
John, you're a dirty whore. Anyway.
Dirty whore. This is from
Mosaic of.
This is from Anchorage Brewing. This has not been on the show before. I'm terrible with pronunciations in general, but Anadromous or
Anadromous?
Goodness.
Yep. It is a...
They made this up. This isn't a real word, so you
I think it's a dinosaur name. There's a fucking dinosaur. It's got to be a dinosaur
It's not androgynous? What's it?
No, it's Andromeda.
It's Anadromous.
Anadromous.
Yeah.
Anadromous.
I like what Gabe's doing.
You're missing that second A.
It's such a fun brewery.
Anadromous.
I mean,
do I know them?
I don't get them very often, unfortunately. So like, it's we have super some friends. My partner's friend or her friends live in like rural Alaska, and they were flying home, and she's like, "Hey, does Christian want any beers?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'd love some."
This is Anchorage.
I'm a huge fan.
And she brought a bunch of some sours home.
But what would I know from these guys? Love does that even make it here?
Yeah, it's in the city.
Yeah. A lot of their beers go for like $1,000 a bottle. It's like one of those trader brewery kind of things.
But you know what? Tavor kind of changed that a bit, though. They're on Tavor quite often now, which is like kind of made a lot of breweries pretty accessible.
What's the style? What goes into this beer that Justin can't pronounce?
All right, so this is a black sour fermented in French oak fooders.
So it is a black sour. So that's...
Yeah.
There was malt
with the Belgian yeast, aged 1 year in Pinot and whiskey barrels with lacto, PDO, and Brett. Finished on Marion berries, naturally carbonated in the bottle.
Marion berries. Marion berries. The weird outlier flavor.
Yeah.
That's fucking fun. Dope.
This is a cool bottle.
Justin, can you get them on the show?
Anchorage I would love to get Gabe on the... So Gabe was the head brewer at Midnight Sun for a while, I think, and then he branched off and started
his
own
thing.
Yeah,
we don't need to talk about Midnight Sun, but yeah, that's
What's
fine.
What's Midnight Sun?
It doesn't matter.
It's a brewery in Anchorage.
It's a brewery in Anchorage.
And now he's got his own project.
Yeah, which is
better
to talk about.
But doesn't that... Am I wrong? Doesn't that bottle look high-end to you? That doesn't look like a small brewery. Like, that's... I guess it's probably just a sticker, but doesn't it look like it was silkscreen?
No, it's screened on the bottle.
It's like a fancy bottle.
To me, that feels...
No, they have...
Deluxe.
No, they got a real operation going on up there.
Do they? Right on. Well, good for them, because they're making tasty beer.
They are.
That's fun. Marion berries.
Marion berries.
Now we got to fuck with some Marion berries.
Is that...
Maybe we
Tasty
put
loop?
Them in a cast iron
Stop,
pan.
Not you two.
Maybe we put them in a cast iron
it's
pan and throw them in a pizza
goddamn
oven.
Chicken bones all over again.
Johnny Chickenbone Hall in the hizzy.
Fucking Ben Keen, man.
Dude, there's no way. You said food lube yourself. Chicken bone was me and Ben Keen being mean to you. You brought food lube into the world.
No, Charlie Chest Sweater brought food lube into this world.
Yeah, you better.
I had a perfectly good existence.
I can't believe you have
another podcast. Yeah, it's
and
I've had like five others since
and
we've
you
been
say
doing this
dirty
one.
Things for money. Is it like an ASMR podcast?
Oh,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Food lube. All right.
I'm John Hall for food lube.
All right, so you're going to make beers like this? You're going to keep making beers like this in the new spot? Are you...
So
does that other room where you that's been kind of keeping you alive with the library stay what it is and you just brew beer into it? Talk
yeah,
to me.
So, yeah,
let,
so
finish me
big,
through the new space.
That was a big thing. So we the new space in Troy had its own cool ship specific room. We have a brand called Rooted, which is our like traditional spontaneous fermented NH beer. But
and by the way, look up on Australian Urban Dictionary for what it means. Go ahead, John. Keep
right
talking.
Now.
Keep talking.
So we were going to leave the original cool ship room intact and just kind of bring inoculated wort down to Troy and then ferment part of our beers down there as well.
Okay.
Now, because of the fire, the whole program is moving down there. So you were talking about terroir and a couple shows ago, but that's a...
Was I?
That's the thing that it will change a little bit. We'll see how the micro culture down in Troy kind of lives up to what we've been doing up by us.
Well, you have Evan in your life. For me,
sure.
There's that liberty of him basically calling me an asshole for caring that the beer is always the same and that it should be live and I should only be making the live beers. But once once he gave me that gift and that liberty, and I could fuck around and I can do Planet Jersey and these other things, I make them different every time. And there's something more wonderful about the fact that every time I have barn beer, I love it.
Yeah.
And it's never the same beer twice, right? Yeah. Like, it had to have been cloned close once, because once I was like, oh, this smells like Evan's Yeast. Every other time, I'm like, I love this beer. Oh, it's farm beer. There's something super cool about that, right? So there's, you know, the hope is you still love what you're doing in that new terroir, yeah, I mean, than, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying, right?
Like, absolutely.
That's a cool thing.
I think that's the process is everything too. I mean, Evan came up and brew. We have a beer called In Bloom, which is our kind of similar to barn beer. We run more of a slur method with our bigger fooder that we occasionally hit with a cool ship or just keep kind of feeding it. And he brought his barn beer yeast up, and we kind of did a similar recipe into our cool ship.
Did he use that cool bee painted sixth?
We did. It actually still that. We actually saved it from the fire. He actually left it.
Nice. Oh, really? Well, then I must have used it after you. Because it came down to me with my yeast in it when I brewed with him at my place. And the picture of that fucking Viking climbing my fooder with that thing on his back is my favorite picture. It was on my birthday, and that he's literally like a monkey climbing up the side of my fooder with a beehive keg on his back. I'm like, this is how I want to get older every year.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'm glad you saved it. I love the things you pulled out of the fire. A mixing tank on wheels. Evan's little corny.
Fork truck.
No. Yeah,
fork trucks.
That'll teach you things. Those guys who write in about how do I start brewing, and we all make the joke, you mop.
Yeah.
That'll teach you probably the most important lesson about I want to open my own brewery. I think the most valuable thing might be the fork truck.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the rental. Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want to lift anything. That shit's heavy.
But I also don't want to pay the deposit on it either.
Like, no, you own them, dude. We don't actually rent those things.
No?
You buy them used off real companies
used
like
for $5,000. You keep repairing it.
Yeah. That's it.
You learn a lot about
duct tape repair. Yeah.
All right. So it sounds to me like you've got so many balls in the air. You can't be doing a ton of shit other than building this building, right? Getting your beers made in five different spots with a staff of 20, plus still keeping your three barrel alive, plus having your thing, plus building this new building.
Yeah, how do you have time to be
here? It sounds to me like you're going to be waffled for 6 months, but is there anything neat on the horizon before the opening of this? Like, what should we be looking out for from you besides beer releases over
outside
the fall?
Beer right now?
Yeah, that's it, right? That's all it
can be. That's a full-time job. I mean, you know, unfortunately,
the incredulous look that he just shot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but I'm trying to phrase it like I don't believe there'll be a better answer, but I don't want to ask.
Sure,
if he's like, no, we're going to do a fundraiser in November for... I wanted to know that.
The polar bear.
I don't know how the fuck you'd put a good one together.
I'd like to talk about it here, if it's all right with you, of course.
That's what you're here for.
We actually do. We're setting up the Common Roots Foundation, which is actually going to help as more of a kind of set up some infrastructure to help other breweries, other community, other people, businesses, whatever it is out in the future. So that's something where we're hoping it's going to be launching pretty soon. It's a 501c4 or something like that. I'm not even exactly sure, but it's kind of a way to kind of give back because it is crazy. How do you ever say thank you? And we're like, we know we've written 600 thank you notes probably or plus, but you're never going to do them all. So a big thing that we're kind of excited about was kind of that was a fucked up moment.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of people who have had a lot of oh fuck moments, oh shit moments. We were fortunate to have a community that supported us as well as pretty well insured. And, you know, the beer industry is amazing, right? Like between
Large
Big Earth. Alice, who really took the reins on that Kindred Roots and so many breweries that kind of came together. That doesn't always happen in every industry, you know? Yeah. Like, if your car dealership burns down, it's not as cool, I imagine. I don't know. Like, but also,
they pour gas on the fire, you know? At least in Jersey, you know, in the car dealerships in Jersey. They're bad. Anyway, keep going.
So that's something. So that's something we're pretty excited about, and it's kind of not really beer related. There was a house that burned down almost right across the street, a couple blocks over, where it was this very heroic story where the boyfriend of the woman's house went in, saved the kid. He was like, he got terrible third degree burns. We ended up doing a fundraiser at the brewery after, and it was just kind of was very eye opening of like, this is a real thing that happens a lot.
You just keep paying it forward.
And you gotta have some better infrastructure. And we do you know, we do have the ability to have a big voice right now, so why don't we...
Well, I love that. Is there a site really specifically cool. for it yet?
There will be.
All right, so they should follow your Facebook or something to find out where that is?
Because
the Thieves
media.
Are very generous. The Thieves they have are. Paid for John yeah. to fly first class for 3 years now.
It's so good.
I imagine they'll get behind you as well. I hope they
That'd
will.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's dope. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on the Facebook page. What's the best way to track you? Instagram? If they want to keep an eye out for shit like
Facebook,
that, what's the
I
best
think
way
we
to
do all
it?
Those things, and that's I would imagine that's the best way of doing it. Yeah.
I like right. it. I like it. Yeah. Justin, I'm betting you don't have a letter.
I don't have a letter, no.
Justin, you are the worst.
Hey, no, all right,
Justin, redeem
write
yourself.
Write
guys,
us, guys.
Write Justin a letter.
Yeah. How do they write you?
We had an epic one last episode, but
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah. If you want to write us, you can do it at stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. And if they want to send us Patreon money while they send money to the Commoners Foundation.
You can do that.
Not
at,
instead of. With.
With.
And we should point out with Patreon, it's as little as like $2 or $5. Like just...
you can give a dollar a month
and
if you
and
want.
And there's as high as a million, John. Don't shoot low.
But every little bit helps us get people like Christian to come down and share their stories and...
Buy them a beer.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so patreon.com/stillthisbeer or go to our website and you can click on the Patreon button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What else should they know about you before we go away? Like, so right now, Facebook and Instagram is the best tracking method for
Absolutely.
Stuff like
we have
that.
A website. And we do all, keep the, us posted all the things. The we'll keep you posted.
Right on. Well, thank you.
We're
for still
coming, making beer.
We're going to have to go up and do
I
a show
I think that's
up
wonderful.
There.
I really do think that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, maybe we can make it a charity thing.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But, yeah, dude, I'm so glad you're doing as well as you are. It's the first time I've seen you since. And like I said, like you kind of dropped off the map, and I was fine with that knowing what was going on.
Yeah,
but
I apologize.
I'm glad you look as good and happy as you look at it, and everything sounds like it's going as great as it is, because it's wonderful that it did come together as well as what's it called? Apples from lemonade? What do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a beer name that you guys should do.
I'm going to take that, by the way.
As a collaboration.
That and Food Lube is going to be the name.
Oh, no. Brian Cass has already trademarked it. There's a whole website.
We should definitely make a beer called Food Lube. It should be like a food friendly, like some beer that everybody wishes people to make, like a little beer to guard or something.
Like a cream ale? Lube.
No. People make those.
A beer to guard.
A beer to guard. That's food-friendly beer, dude.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
All right.
I'll be
anyway,
down next week.
So let me get back to it. John keeps distracting me with this food loop. So the Patreon, the writing the letters, the Facebooks, the get at us. Thanks, guys. Seriously, thank you. And thanks for coming out.
Thanks, guys.
Get at us, y'all.
Cheers.